Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Please remain calm. There is no need for alarm. This space is now being taken over by Hillbilly Broadcast.
Can somebody please tell me what in the heck is going on? I have a lot of questions. Sitting there on Saturday, and I go to check the news. I do that periodically throughout the day. Try to keep up on what y'all's up to and what country we've invaded lately. I pull up the news and see that there had been shots fired at a Trump rally. Now, I have to say that my first impression is that it was probably some wacko. I'm a bit desensitized to this stuff these days. I think we all are. I figured it was some wacky dude had fired a couple shots off. And then I saw pictures of Donald Trump with the blood over his face. And I'm like, gee, well, this is not your run-of-the-mill scenario here. I do have questions. I got to say, I'm not alleging anything. Please don't think that I am. But how does that happened? How is that line of sight left open and apparently unmonitored, unattended? When you have a former president and a current candidate for president, when you have him there speaking, how is that area left unattended? Now we're starting to see reports that the old boy was there and that they knew he was there. By they, I mean, you know, at least some form of law enforcement knew he was there 30 minutes prior, and this is on Fox. This is not some crazy wacko something or other. You know, Fox is mainstream. But that he was there 30 minutes prior to the shooting, and they were aware of it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not trying to tell you this exactly what happened, because I don't know, but I do have some very serious questions. Now, one of the things that we're hearing come out of this is a call for unity and a call to tamp down the political rhetoric in the country. And the political temperature is high. It's very high. It has been for some time now. It seemed like it really started amping up with the 2016 election cycle, that whole season. And then it's just continued throughout COVID, throughout the George Floyd riots, all that. And it seems like it just keeps getting higher and higher. But at what point can it not go any higher without us having some dire consequences? Now, I try to be open with y'all. So I'll tell you just for transparency. Now, and also in the past, I've tried to steer away somewhat from being a political show and just talking all about politics all the time. There's a lot of people that are a lot better at discussing politics than me. So I typically try to stay out of it. Now, I do enjoy politics. I've enjoyed keeping up with it for really ever since I was about 9 years old. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So for transparency, I'll tell you that I like Donald Trump. And that Trump is the guy that I have voted for in the past. And more than likely, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I will do it again. I will vote for him this next time around. Now, I throw that out there just so you know where I'm coming from. Okay, that's Phil. That's me. That's what I am. I'm not a registered Republican. I'm a registered independent, but most times I am frustrated with both parties. And I've even been frustrated with Trump in the past with some of the things that he did. Okay, so I'm a Trump guy. Now, what that does not mean is I will hate your guts if you're not a Trump guy. Where's the whole idea of being able to disagree but still continue to live civilly and even be friendly with one another? Where's the Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill style of doing things? It seems like that's very quickly fading, if not completely gone. The 16 election cycle was an eye-opener for me because I had several friends that were never Trumpers. And initially, I was all about, let me just post every little political zinger I can, because if I post, the more I post it on Facebook, the more people that it will change their mind. And that doesn't work, of course. I think everybody knows that. I don't know that anyone ever has seen a Facebook post in the snarky meme way that we do things and said, oh my gosh, that's it. I'm now a Trump guy. But I had these friends that were never Trumpers, and I just started talking to them, started listening to them, started having some discussion, maybe even a little debate. And I'm not used, or wasn't used to uncomfortable conversations or debates. And I lay the blame for that completely at the feet of the conservative holiness movement, which is the church movement that I came out of. In that movement, we usually didn't disagree with one another. This was maybe one of our more cult-like attributes, but we pretty much agreed on everything, including politics. You had a few outliers, but we didn't have uncomfortable conversations. We didn't sit around and discuss things that may wind up with the conversation getting a little heated. We didn't do that. If somebody came in and they were wanting to question the second work of grace, which was one of the main tenets of our way of life, our belief system, if they came in and wanted to question us about that or push back a little bit or have a debate, our response was, you just want to argue, and I ain't got time for argument. And we would shut it down. There was to be no debate on things like that. So everything was, I wasn't used to being in conversations with people that I disagreed with. But the 16 election cycle kind of schooled me a little bit. And I began to realize if I'm talking to somebody who has a different viewpoint than me, number one, it's very interesting. I want to pick their brain. I want to find out why they think that. I want to find out why they believe what they do. Number two, there's a good chance that old Phil might learn something. There's a very good chance. I could be wrong. I could have missed something. You know, my political views have changed a lot over the years. I went from a very staunch toe the line, conservative holiness movement, praise the Lord Republican, to, I don't know what you'd call me now, registered independent with a very strong flavor of libertarianism, I think is where I'm at these days. A lot in that camp. A lot. Not completely, but there's a lot of me in that camp. And I remember what made me start to question some of these things. Some of the hardcore conservative Mark Levin, Sean Hannity lines that I used to hold. See, I grew up listening to talk radio. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm in podcasting now, because I thought that the talk show was so cool. The whole format, you know, Rush waving his cigar around and, you know, rattling papers and spouting off his knowledge and all that. I thought that was cool. And so I grew up listening to that. Then listened to Sean Hannity. And I can hear the eye rolls on that one. I'll roll them with you with that one. But then podcasts became a thing, and I was able to gain access to radio shows that I couldn't normally listen to, like Mark Levin and all that. And Mark Levin, of course, is ultra conservative. And then you had the Michael Savages. You know, Michael Savage is a little different flavor. And then you'd get to hear them fight with one another, like the little pot shots and stuff. But so I grew up very much Republican. I can remember when 9/11 happened. That's when I kind of started following politics, and I would have been right around 9 years old, started paying attention to it. So in the church that I was in, we couldn't follow sports, but by George, we could follow politics. So that's what I did. And I can remember just consuming as much of this information as I could. I remember, you know, we invaded Iraq, and my gosh, if you don't support the war in Iraq, you're a communist son of a gun that don't support the troops. You know, stuff like that. And George Bush was the best thing since St. Peter himself. If I could go back and visit my younger self, so many things I could tell him. You know, Mitt Romney comes around, and he's a Mormon, but I believe he's a good man. He's what we need for this country. All right.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever, and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. You know, John McCain. John McCain all the way. Okay. Whatever. I took the party line. I remember one of the things, and this is not a libertarian ideal, but it's something that I still believe in completely. One of the things that started opening my eyes to the fact that I was not a hardcore conservative was the issue of public land. Now, for those of you that don't know, public land is like, say, a national forest, national park, places like that. There can be state-owned public land. It can be federally owned public land. I grew up spending a lot of time at campsites in the Monongahela National Forest. Some of my fondest memories of my childhood are there. And I was listening to these hunters talk about that public land needs to be a thing. The federal government needs to have this land. It doesn't need to be in private ownership. It needs to be federally owned, and then the people are given access to this land for hunting, fishing, camping, different types of outdoor recreation. I can remember hearing the Mark Levin types and all those, insert your conservative talk show host here. I could remember them ranting and raving against the federal government owning all this land. Oh my gosh. We don't need them to be owning all this land. This is basically 1776 all over again. And initially I'm like, yeah, why is the federal government owning all this land? Let the people own it. Why do they need this? Sell it off. Sell it to somebody. And then I realized if it was sold off, I would no longer have access to it. You wouldn't have access to it. If we didn't have public land, it would be much harder for the average individual of an average income or with an average income. It would be much harder for them to go out and enjoy the great outdoors, go hunting, fishing, camping, things like that, because you'd have to buy or lease these areas to do it. And most of us ain't got that kind of money. Because if private individuals buy up land, I don't know what it's like where you live, but where I live in West Virginia, when land gets bought up, one of the first things that happens is they slap posted signs all over that, and you are not welcome. That's fine. That's their land. They can do with it what they want. But that makes me glad that there is some land that is publicly owned and that we can go and have our little outdoor adventures on these in these national forests and such. And that's just, you know, that's the way I feel about it. That's not a conservative stance. Usually the conservative line of thinking is you take the public land that the federal government owns and you give it back to the state. So let the state own it and let the state do with it as they wish. Problem is, a lot of times when this land is given to the states, specifically the states out west, that land is then turned around and leased off to coal mines or some big business outfit, or it's sold off. And the people lose access to that section of the great outdoors. So that's why I think the federal government is horrendous and pretty much fails at everything they try to do, that's probably my favorite thing, or one of my favorite things that they do, is have the national forests, and national parks, and stuff like that, so that I can go outside. I can go outside someplace else that isn't my backyard. You know, being outside, it's good for an individual. I think it's just extremely necessary for you to spend some time in the woods and the great outdoors. And you can do that because of the public land. So that's where I started noticing that I'm not the same politically as I used to be. things would start to change. And then as I would hear more, like more from the libertarians, I'd pick up more that they said that I really liked. And essentially their thing is, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Well, that's, I like that. I like that quite a bit. Where was I going with all this? By the way, I've been stumbling around. I've said public land like 100 times. I'll tell you what, let's bring it back around to the beginning. So I think that we have to, it's going to be necessary for us to realize that just because I like Donald Trump and you might like Joe Biden or RFK Jr. or whoever else, or you don't like none of them, but just because we have opposite opinions, that doesn't mean that we're not fellow Americans. That doesn't mean that we can't be friends. We can't be friendly. We can't have a good relationship. You know, that doesn't mean that we're not necessarily brothers in Christ because we have opposing viewpoints. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind. Now, people are losing sight of that. And that doesn't mean that I'm not political or that you're not political. And that we're not going to be bumping heads at times. We're going to be on the opposite sides of issues at times. We're going to be pushing for two separate things. But that's fine. That doesn't make you less human. It doesn't make me less human. We all get wrapped up in this political system that's based out of Washington. And we get mad at one another over some politicians in D.C. that will never know our names. And we'll wreck relationships over it. Or we'll ascribe some kind of evil motive to someone. I do think there are people in politics that have evil motives. But I'm going to guess that most people in the general population, they ain't got the evil motive to their politics. They believe what they believe, and they've got their reasons for that. You know, you'll hear a lot of people joke, too, about, let's get the war started, or whatever. And, you know, I'm all for joking, that's fine. But when it comes to reality, we never want to see that. And I feel like we've gotten close at times. We might have been close on Saturday. There are some things, like this thing could get pushed too far. And we're not ready for the repercussions of if a civil unrest or a civil war was to kick off. I was going through a book one time, listening to a book on Audible about Robert E. Lee. And he was in a shop of some sort on the day that Virginia declared that they were seceding from the Union. And the shopkeeper just wrote down what Lee said, wrote it down in his log. And I'm paraphrasing very, very much here, but Robert E. Lee essentially said, they have no idea what they've started. They have no idea what they're in for. And of course, he went on and was a major player in that war, but I think that holds true today as well. This escalation of political violence that keeps going, we ain't got no idea what this could turn into. We don't ever want to see that. So I just want to let you know, during this elections season, you might hear me talk some more about politics. You might hear me talk pretty vehemently about it, pretty passionately about it. That's fine. That's fine. You know, I'm sure many of us are passionate about our politics. But just because you hear me saying something that you disagree with, that doesn't mean that I hate you or that you can't approach me and ask me, hey, Phil, why do you support Donald Trump? How can you support him with such and such and so and so he said in the past or what he's done in the past or his multiple wives or whatever? As far as I'm concerned, you know, if I know you, we're still acquaintances. We're still friends. If I don't know you, then let's become acquaintances or friends. That doesn't make me unapproachable, because at the end of the day, the politics, is it really that important? It is, of course. But is it worth ruining friendships and relationships over? No, it's not. Because usually you're not going to be able to do anything yourself anyways. You can go vote. That's about it. You know, you could attend a rally or a protest, but are you moving the needle that much? That's debatable. And something else that we lose sight of as we sit staring at what goes on in D.C., and it deserves some attention. But what really affects us on a local level, what really affects our pocketbook, what's going to hit us the hardest, is what goes on in our state and local politics. You look at West Virginia, you look at the state of California. We're all under the same federal government. But West Virginia has very relaxed gun laws. California has very restrictive gun laws. West Virginia has low taxes. California has high taxes. So on and so forth. You can draw all kinds of comparisons. The reason that is state and local politics. That's where you're going to feel the pinch the most. But we get sidetracked onto watching these guys up in D.C. And I tell you, I'm ashamed to say that there might be one person running in our county elections that I know, Brett Carpenter running for a sheriff for re-election. Other than that, I couldn't tell you who's running or what they're running for. And that's terrible. That's terrible, man. I should pay more attention than that. Because there and what happens in Charleston, which is our state capital, that's what's going to hit me quicker, in my opinion, than what they do in D.C. At least that's the way that it's been in the past. But if you'd like to get in touch with me or anybody here on Hillbilly Broadcast, you can find us on Facebook and shoot us a message there. You can join the Facebook group, Fraternal Order of Hillbilly Broadcast. You can send an email to hillbillybroadcast@aol.com and just tell us what you think, what you thought about the show, so on and so forth, anything you just want to get off your heart and unburden your spirit with. Anyways, I love y'all. See you again next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.